With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hi gang, welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Jose hates VAR. The North London Derby's back. It's Friday 10th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. You've made it.
Have you got that feeling?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Andy B. What about you, baby?
Well, I think as you can hear from the intro, I very much got that feeling. I've got the feeling of being Marcus Speller today, I think.
My giddy arm.
Bit of a roar at the end.
Yeah, lucky little sausage.
Have fun with it, Andy.
Oh, indeed.
Let yourself go. Let your hair down, mate.
Mm-hmm. Now, gentlemen, before we get down to it, really, before we talk turkey, I've been watching a bit of television the past couple of months.
Okay.
I saw an excellent documentary the other day on Terrestrial about Liverpool under Paisley winning their first Champions League and so on. Wonderful scenes, of
European
course.
Cup.
European Cup, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Luke. Yeah. You're very wise.
Days I just want to avoid the Twitter admin.
Indeed.
That's all.
Robert Paisley. Okay, if we're going to be. And And Phil Neal told a story that in the celebrations and all, when they got back into the dressing room or something, he took his boots off. And as he took his boots off, he like flicked his boot and it smacked one of the players in the eye and gave him a black eye. And unfortunately, in the celebrations, you can see a bit of a black eye. Guess which Liverpool player it was?
Was it really? It was Kevin Keegan. Was it really? That, how are we still uncovering information? Regular listeners will know what we're talking about. New listeners to this show, Kevin Keegan. There's not enough time to start and finish, but a hapless man till the very end. Let's be absolutely fair.
A fine pair of aviators to cover it, though, on the parade in Liverpool.
That's textbook.
Indeed.
That is textbook.
He looked magnificent, apart from that black eye. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from Keggy, sadly. Let's go straight to Tottenham Hotspur. Big news this morning. They're releasing an All or Nothing documentary.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a long while.
Yeah.
The trailer, the kind of teaser trailer, as is the industry vernacular, I believe, dropped this morning.
And Luke, is it possible? I never thought it was possible to have so much nuance in 22 seconds.
Yeah. But Andy, as you said just before we came on, was it the right time to kind of announce the documentary,
it's brilliant. In the last 6 seconds of it, where you hear Daniel Levy's voice as Mourinho walks into the press conference going, only time will tell if it was the right decision or not.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the nerve of dropping that the morning after the 0-0 draw,
you guys,
and that performance is unbelievable.
You're right to say that. You're right to ask the question, but I will just counter by saying, when will there be the right time to drop it? It's like they've sat around and gone, we've got to drop it at some point.
Yeah.
When are we going to do it?
Keep it for two managers down the line?
Yeah, true.
We can't do it after that Everton win, okay. Bournemouth, yeah, we'll definitely after. Oh, no. All right, well, the time has lapsed. Another poor performance from Mourinho's men. Although always pleasing to keep a clean sheet, of course. That's two on the bounce.
Platform.
A huge platform. He was on top form, wasn't he, post-match?
You say that. He can't even perform in the press conference anymore. It just reminded
it's a fair
me.
Point.
You know that bit where you know between Mourinho and Guardiola when they're Real Madrid and Barcelona?
Mm-hmm. Seems a Mourinho long, and Guardiola. Long time ago now.
It does, but that moment where Mourinho thinks, yes, I am the winner, when Guardiola has that sort of flip out in the press conference where he goes, well, okay, I know what you're saying, and he's the effing boss.
Et
cetera, in the press conference room. And Mourinho must have been enjoying that. I feel sure in saying that despite all the trophies he's won, that is his career high point.
Maybe.
I don't think there's anything he enjoyed more during his career. But
he's
not even there anymore. The way he just ripped off the headphones, no.
Yeah.
Can you hear
Barcelona
me?
Players appreciated it, apparently, when Guardiola said that.
The talk is that they were constantly asking him to show a bit more back up and kind of stick up for them a bit more.
Yeah.
But look, you know,
for Keegan and Benitez.
Yeah, it did. Exactly. but you know, there is definitely something of I'm going to say piss take.
Yeah.
About you saw that game last night. First team to not have a shot on target against Bournemouth for 5 years. Do you want to watch a documentary about us? Not really. To be honest, no.
All or nothing. Well, at least you've given us an option there.
I understand I'm in the minority here because of the job I do, but I've got to watch that for work.
Yeah, I've got
to watch it. I'm probably going to have to watch that. So can they do something about this on the pitch?
It's one of those ones where I'm pretty sure a lot of supporters thought, I'm glad that we weren't allowed in the ground for that. Yeah. Very glad indeed.
It wasn't a great performance. I mean, Andy, I don't know about you, but I obviously wrote notes about watching the game. Mm. And I've just written, Spurs tempo is absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like the lack of tempo in their play, and I understand they should have had a penalty. That was a dictionary definition. Harry Kane at the World Cup 2018.
It was a bit Colombia, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got penalties like that about 460 times throughout that tournament. It was a penalty. VAR got that wrong. We can talk about VAR, but first and foremost, the pace at which they moved the ball, which I think is the minimum you need to expect at the top for a top level Premier League club, was so slow. It just made it so easy for Bournemouth, didn't it?
Well, we've talked very much about the Ramble being in a tournament format because it's very much a summer of football.
Yeah.
I think Spurs are playing at a tournament tempo. You know, when we normally watch a World Cup or a European Championship and we go, well, all the players are flaked because they've played 60 games. You feel that about Spurs. There's no vitality. There's no energy.
Well, there was last night, if you see what I mean.
But Andy, the thing is, Mourinho was saying a week ago they've had too much rest. They should be raring to go. It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling what's happened.
I mean, when you say it's sort of football, are they playing their way in? Do you see what I mean? They don't want to peak too early. You think to yourself, well, hang on, lads, it's going to be over in a minute.
Yeah. Well, just in terms of energy, in terms of there just being nothing, it's so listless.
It is.
Isn't it?
With those, I mean, some of the players they have as well, it's not good enough.
Some of the stuff that Mourinho is setting up at the moment, where he's basically talking about the resources he has at his fingertips, as you were saying, Marcus. I mean, it does take quite a nerve, really, doesn't it? It's very much the sort of thing that Harry Redknapp was ridiculed for a long time of saying, well, look at the old shit the previous managers left me.
But at least Redknapp, there was a bit of swashbuckling attacking at time. It was never like this. I mean, he is sapping the joy out of football for Tottenham Hotspur. Well,
I'm not talking about the content of the football. I'm talking about the argument.
Talk about Spurs under George Graham, which people complain about, but at least they had David Ginola.
Oh, flipping heck.
You know, it's difficult. I actually
would David Ginola shine in this side?
He probably wouldn't get a game, would he? He probably wouldn't get a game, mate. That's the problem. Mm. You look at Tongwy and Ndombele, and I mean, talk about him a little bit more detail. It doesn't get picked.
Yeah.
So there's obviously something going on there. But I saw on Twitter that a Spurs podcast tweeted last night that they're refusing to record an episode off the back of that game, saying in quotes they wouldn't waste their time on that shit show. Mourinho's only been in the job 8 months.
Jordan Bennett.
8 months he's been in the job.
Jordan bloody Bennett. Fair.
But you know, on the Ndombele thing, Andy, just while you're here, because it's a great opportunity to ask you. I watched him obviously play the second half last night. Obviously, a huge amount of talent and ability, exciting player. Reason he went for a lot of money, reason why a lot of clubs were after him. And I watched, for preparation for the show today, I watched the highlights reel of him at Lyon. And I know it's not indicative of what he's able to do and what he's able not to
sure.
do. But you can get a good idea of how he moves and what he does. He looked like a different player. He looked like he's moving... For Lyon, he was moving him fast forward compared to what he's doing now. Have the injuries he suffered really affected him so badly that he can't move freely? Because it doesn't look like he's moving very freely at all at the moment.
I don't know, because I think there's a lot of players you could say that about. You could look at Harry Kane and say he doesn't look fit. I mean, is that an issue?
But he's constantly being picked at least.
With all the players. I mean, yeah, I suppose that is a point. But with Ndombele, I thought he added something when he came on.
Yeah.
But it's all comparative, isn't it? Because when you saw Ndombele get the ball, surge past a couple of players and give it away, and normally you'd be, oh, he's really underperforming. But actually, in the context of current Spurs, you're like, well...
He's doing what he should be doing.
It's half a step in the right direction, isn't it? Mm.
But we know Mourinho hates possession. So maybe if you do beat a couple of men, that's the default. You have to give it back to the opposition.
That is an interesting point, actually, Marcus.
He does hate possession. That's not his... ethos.
No, it's not his thing. And it's an interesting point, I think, when it comes to Ndombele. Maybe one that's not really been dwelt on that much. Whereas at Lyon, possession is king. Mm. That's the most important thing. If you can't play, you're just not accepted.
Yeah.
So it's an entirely different culture. I realise people will say it's a step up. It's a step up in terms of league, Ligue 1 to the Premier League. But in terms of football culture, is it? Especially for a young player who's still developing. We realise he's come an extraordinary way in 2 years at Lyon, but there's no suggestion that he's the finished article.
No. Well, Andy, all this talk about possession, it was the reason why you never really, years ago, fully bedded into the Ramble team, because Morsy and I are all about possession. Yeah.
but Spurs had two-thirds of it last night. Two-thirds of it they had last night.
Yeah, that's why he was so angry.
And they were only... really through, let's get it absolutely right, through luck and nothing else. Mm. Because there's no way Josh King knew anything about that handball. It was unfortunate that it hit his hand on the way in, and it would have been a goal otherwise.
What a 3 points that would have been for Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's pretty grim stuff for Spurs. Let's be real. Yeah.
And how bad have Bournemouth looked as well? Oh, so for Spurs to put Bournemouth in a position where they look like the more likely side to win the game in the closing quarter. I mean, that doesn't just say stuff about energy, a momentum. It does maybe say something a bit about fitness as well, doesn't it?
It certainly does. VAR related news, gentlemen. We saw that FIFA are to take VAR operations. They're going to take over them, and they want to have a uniformed approach to how it's applied across the world, which does make sense, especially when we get to tournaments and this is really implemented in a obviously we've seen that already, but it will only get more of a talking point unless it's kind of synced up a little bit. And the good news is that Pierluigi Collina, the head of FIFA's referees committee, will oversee it, which certainly gives you it gives you a bit of hope and a bit of.
I don't think it is good news.
No.
Wholly, I think it's a good idea to standardise it.
Uh-huh.
Because if it's here to stay, then it's best to do it in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. But Collina was the one piping up last week or the week before, saying that he didn't think there was anything wrong with the handball law or the as I mentioned last week, I don't think anyone at the top level who's making these decisions about the laws of the game. I think there's anything wrong with the laws of the game. And we have to separate out VAR and the handball law particularly, obviously. Yeah. Because VAR is one thing, and the handball law, which is, I think, a nonsense at the moment, is different. But I wonder if they're in touch with what their product is doing to the people who consume it. And that's a kind of horrible way of putting it. But they have to be listening more to the fans, because if we just take last night alone, there's three decisions there. Across three, with the Ward-Prowse one, the Kane one, and the Bruno Fernandes one, and the Premier League, I think themselves have since admitted that all three of them were wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, that's a 0% hit rate.
It is, but
it's low.
But in terms of, I suppose, with regards to this news about FIFA and Collina, and you say it is it good news? You've made me sort of rethink that, because I think I've been blindsided by something I saw on Twitter.
Yeah,
it was from Richard Keys,
Big Keezy,
who says this with regards to the news: one small step for man, one giant leap for football. At last, game over, Mike Riley. I'm told I may have played a small part in this decision. Good, flattered. Yeah, see ya. Yeah.
So we've got Richard Keys to thank.
Daft little rules, silly ref.
we've got Richard Keys to thank.
In some way, I think we do. But we're always sort of indebted to him, I suppose.
Does he go into any detail about what he's been able to do?
I don't think he needs to. I really don't.
Has he just been chipping off on the TV and that's it? In Doha.
Again, we thank you, Richard. We are...
Who knows what's going to happen? Let's be absolutely clear. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, it depends what Keezy fancies.
Yeah.
In due course. Yeah. We shall see. Eric Dyer's been banned for four matches, fined £40,000, of course, going into the crowd after their FA Cup tie against Norwich. Jose Mourinho, not happy with that either, Andy. He said, my feeling is, in the majority of the cases, football is not protected by these people. The people that are powerful and don't belong to this world. Powerful people that don't belong to the tribe and they don't have feelings. It's very difficult to lead something when you don't have a clue about the world that you are leading. He's not going to get any VAR decisions if he goes on.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
No.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Has he always been this bizarre, Andy?
Well, he's always talked a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's clear. He's less self-editing than he was in the past.
This is what happens, though, when you take one of his toys away. Because he loves old Dyer, doesn't he? He loves Eric Dyer.
He does. It's very interesting, though, that he talks about, people in power, no one wanting to challenge them.
Yeah.
Make what you will of that.
He said Dyer will be a key player next season. He hopes to turn him into a centre-back where he believes Dyer is at his happiest.
His future as a player is at centre-back, in my opinion.
Yeah, so? it makes sense. He hasn't got the mobility to play in midfield, certainly not in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that idea. Maybe if you've got a back three, certainly, where his lack of pace is covered a little bit from elsewhere. I mean, you've got to have Alderweireld in because he's your main playmaker, isn't he? Basically, if you're Spurs, so those two and Sanchez.
Yeah.
Jobs are good, and it's all joy going forward, Spurs fans.
Indeed it is. Well, and that joy could start this Sunday, of course. They play Arsenal in the North London Derby. I'll tell you something.
It'd be interesting to see how far it can turn before Mourinho. How much can Mourinho actually withstand? I'm sure he can withstand plenty, but the pressure on Daniel Levy would be extraordinary. If they give another performance like these last couple of weeks and get beaten...
Well, the way Arsenal are
going... that's quite difficult to ride out, I would have thought.
It is. And it's,
for Levy, not for Mourinho, just to reiterate.
Sure, but it's interesting at the moment in North London with those two clubs that Arsenal fans are in complete despair not that long ago, but they've got a bit of hope with Arteta, and I think we can understand that. They've improved the last few games. It's early days.
I always think hope is important, but it turns out hope is comparative.
Yeah. Well, and it can kill you as well. Yeah. But with Spurs, you know, you look at the squad, you look at what's going on at that club, you'd think that they were in a healthier position when Pochettino left and blah, blah, blah. Well, they are being dragged into the mire, whereas Arsenal, like I say, I'm not saying that they're suddenly resurgent, there's a whole thing, but there is a flicker of hope there.
Yeah, but like I said, it's comparative. And I guess it will be healthily comparative against Spurs, given the way that things have been going for them over the last little while. I mean, I feel like both of these teams are such a long way off.
Just such a load of crap.
Well, you can say that if you want.
They should measure themselves by finishing in the upper echelons of the division, and they're miles off it.
Yeah,
they're miles off it. Yeah. I mean, they're 90. Like, I mean, maybe it's a little bit fanciful to talk about the league title based on what Liverpool have done this season. But we're on the show yesterday, we were talking about whether Pep Guardiola's got some questions to answer about the points return he's delivered this season. And I think he has. They lost 9 games.
Yeah.
69 points is poor for that team. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal and Spurs are 19 and 20 points off that.
They're essentially a little bit better than mid-table.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? This game against Arsenal for Spurs is I think it's huge.
It's massive for both sides considering what's going on. If Arteta gets a win, my goodness.
It's a litmus test of what Arteta's doing and the improvements they've made. Mm-hmm. But if Spurs turn in that kind of performance last night against Arsenal, they'll get pulled to pieces.
And you know what? It's not really about the placement of where they are in the table. It's about the direction in which they're going. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Arteta. It feels like at least gently they're going in the right direction. I don't think any Arsenal fans out there believe it's all fixed or anything like that.
No.
But it is about the direction in which you're going. Because I mean, our friend Lars Sivertsen made a very good point that people have short memories in terms of Spurs. You know, what is their standard in say the Premier League years? Mm. And for the first, 10, maybe 15 years of the Premier League, that they are not in the Champions League conversation at all, are they? They're not even close.
No, but
neither are Leicester.
But
really. It's
got to be about direction. And I think them facing Arsenal at a time like this, obviously, it accentuates everything. Mm. But as well, I think, you know, when you look at it's quite comparable with, say, in a way, Barcelona's current problems. Because Barcelona, what's funny with them at the moment?
They'll be
certainly
that comparison.
They will wait for it. Wait for it. It's okay, not right, complimentary.
Yeah. Okay, right.
I think the thing is with Barcelona, they've become the thing that they always hated. Mm. They became the thing that they took the piss out of Real Madrid for.
Yeah.
Are Spurs heading in that direction in terms of the stadium, which is going to stop them from certainly with the manager that they've got, is going to stop him doing the work that he really wants.
Very true. Very true. Last night, there were some goals at Villa Park. Villa were gubbed 3-0 by Manchester United. It was never a penalty, that we can agree. Luke, I want to turn our attention to Paulie Pogba and a point Roy Keane made. He said that Paul Pogba doesn't want to be a leader. And I thought this is a really interesting point. He seems freed up at the moment, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And if you think about the Juventus side that he played for, where really he came to prominence, I think, in terms of, you know, his global sort of status, you had Pirlo in there. You had, would it have been Marquisio in there as well?
Matuidi as well?
Possibly later. Arturo Vidal might have been in there.
Yeah.
Big players. Yeah,
Matuidi comes later. Okay, right.
Yeah. In the words of Graeme Souness, big players.
Yeah, big players.
Big
around.
Players. You know, and so he wasn't the focal point. He wasn't the leader. He could kind of get in there and just do his stuff. And that seems to be the case since Bruno Fernandes has come along.
It's a really good point because I think we're almost trained these days to think that top players who come for huge money, almost as part of that, need to be leaders as well.
Yeah.
And need to be these huge personalities in a way that means they bring the rest of the team along with them. Mm. And I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Well, not everyone's wired like that, are they? I mean, you could look at Thiago Silva, who's like the best centre-back probably of the last 20 years out there. Not a great captain at all. And it's taken a while for people to separate, almost to the end of his career, actually, for people to separate that in their minds. But you make that point about Pogba. I think that's absolutely right. If you look at the fact that Vidal moves on and Pirlo moves on, the back of the 2015 Champions League final, the way that the Juventus midfield changes so much, And Pogba gets that bit of extra responsibility at Juventus, mm-hmm. gets the number 10 shirt, really affected his form yeah. quite badly.
Did it?
He really had to, and he had to recalibrate his, not just his position in the team, mm-hmm. but his position in the hierarchy. He found it quite difficult to deal with.
I think so, yeah. He's still a young guy as well, although Roy Keane didn't need to say, I mean, he's a leader on social media. It's like, all right, yeah. Roy, come on.
But the thing is, one thing that people need to understand, I've seen a lot of criticism of Roy Keane online, and it's mostly criticism from people who live and breathe football, and i.e. rely on their income for it and are very kind of forensic about it. And they're completely missing the point. It's the same thing about people complaining about the level of analysis on Match of the Day. 95% of people who like football don't care about heat maps and don't care about these kind of forensic ideas of tactics. And so when they say, oh, Roy Keane doesn't really say anything, he says a lot and he's charismatic and he makes great TV. And an example of that would be my wife. She likes football, but she's not massively into it. If Roy Keane's on, she'll watch it because she thinks he's brilliant to watch. Mm. And that's what TV is. Football is an extension of the entertainment industry, after all. So
indeed.
We have to bear in mind that Roy will come out with some stuff
and
it's going to be enjoyable to watch. Just sit back and enjoy it. But on this game particularly, that stuff about Andy was saying about Paul Pogba is really interesting because he has looked excellent since he's come back in.
Yeah, he has.
There's no doubt about that.
The whole team has. Well, maybe not at the back, but going forward, the midfield and the forwards.
There's a couple of interesting talking points, I think, about this game. One is the VAR decision again, which actually in microcosm throws into focus how flawed VAR is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that decision isn't given and VAR looks at it, it's not given as a penalty. But it's deemed to be not egregious enough to be overturned. So they go with the referee decision on the pitch.
So we're talking about umpire's call being the
like you were
the
saying last week.
Yeah.
So what is actually happening is inconsistency is happening because it's being baked into the process.
Yeah. So actually, you know what? Gab Marcotti made a really terrific point about this.
I'm not sure about that.
He said,
"Am I joking? I love Gab."
He said because VAR is so new, maybe on pitch referees don't make great VAR officials. Maybe VAR officials don't make great on-pitch referees. And it's a totally different rule. Just like the rule of the assistant referee has changed totally.
It's absolutely transformed. It's a fair point. What needs to happen, in my opinion, is they need to stop fucking complicating it. Mm. Stop complicating everything all the time. I can understand you can say to a referee while he's refereeing a game, it's a fast-paced game, lots is happening, he's struggling to keep control of it. The VAR guy can come on his ear and say, look, you might want to look at that again.
Mm.
Have another look at that again. Take a minute, go and have a look on the screen.
Mm.
Fine. The referee gets another look at it from a different angle and he can make a decision. I don't even agree with that personally, but I get that. This whole thing is just layer on layer on layer of complexity. It's been pushed through really quickly, far too quickly, if you remember, so it could be used for the World Cup before it had been tested properly. And now we're seeing this inconsistency across Europe, which, Marcus, as you've already mentioned, may be changed because it's going to be taken under FIFA's wing, which I suppose is a good thing.
I don't know if it is, actually.
It might not be. I think it might not be.
I think the idea that the interpretation of rules has to be standardised all over football, it goes against how match officiating is currently done. I mean, everything, the rules, we had this story, didn't we, in Spain earlier in the week. There was last Sunday's game between Athletic and Real Madrid. And there was a story, I think it was in AS, about how maybe a penalty had not been given against Sergio Ramos because
the original
IFAB rules are in English and they'd been incorrectly interpreted incorrectly translated into Spanish. Now, that's not the way I really looked at it. It's all about interpretation of the rules. And Spain is a good example. I mean, in a way, they've kind of had a light version of VAR for the best part of 10 years because, of course, the fourth official, I've talked about this before, definitely, there was an example in Atletico versus Valencia years ago when Kun Aguero was still playing for Atletico. Really blatant handball to stop him from scoring by Carlos Marchena. The game carried on for about 40 seconds and the fourth official saw it, told the referee, he went back, sent off Marchena, gave a penalty, which Aguero then scored, etc., etc. It was amusing because Marchena, who's one of the filthiest players I've ever seen, walked off the pitch, like tapping his cheek and going, kick out of, like, what a bloody cheek you've got. It's like, no, what a bloody cheek you've got, thinking you were going to get away with it. But the interesting thing is that the fourth official, in his role, of helping the referee see with anything he didn't see, had seen the pitch side monitor and gone, oh, you've missed this.
So it's already happening. It's already happening with Zidane in 2006.
Well, that's...
Get my tinfoil hat on. That's what's happening.
I'll tell you something. Jonathan Wilson tells a story where it very much suggests that that's not the case from what the referee said.
You keep your facts to yourself.
Okay.
Before we move on, I know we've got to go to a great break, but I wanted to say that Mason Greenwood's goal was a proper vintage Man United goal that we all grew up kind of watching.
Yep.
Remember them in the 90s where they would smash you on the break and
he's
ride from one
like
end.
That.
What a great player. Love to watch him.
Also, he's got at least 15 goals this season.
Yeah,
so 15 plus.
It was a brilliant goal, and something we can all agree on before we do go for the break. Villa 4 points from safety. They're in big trouble. They've got Palace this weekend, Everton, Arsenal, and West Ham, and one could say that there are some winnable games, but you could spin it and say actually all four of those sides are better than them.
And we get a lot of criticism sometimes on this show for talking about a game, but only talking about one team. But I'm going to presume on this occasion, Aston Villa fans don't actually want us to talk about them.
I was going to say,
we're doing them a favour. Really.
The way they gave Pogba the freedom to score that goal, we let's not mention that Villa fans. So sorry, but good luck against Palace and Roy.
You're probably going to need it.
Indeed. Let's go for a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody, sponsored by Betway. Everton drew 1-1 with Southampton at Goodison last night. Not a classic. Southampton would be a bit disappointed that they did.
Marcus, since we come back from lockdown, just do a quick mental bit of arithmetic. What percentage of games do you think will be described as, in quote, classics?
Yeah. I mean, if you in the sort of the spirit
Palace,
of
Palace Chelsea was quite good.
That wasn't bad.
It's not going to be a classic, though, is it?
We've seen some. You would argue we've seen some classic performances from Manchester United.
Yeah, vintage.
Vintage.
Yeah,
vintage, Andy.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully for Manchester United, they'll think this is a starting point,
yes,
rather than a peak. Uh-huh. So when you go forward and look at like Premier League classics being played on rainy days or times of night football, none of them are going to get shown anyway because they haven't got any fans in the stadium.
True. No, don't look as good.
But we've talked about Manchester United. We're talking about Everton and Southampton. Yeah, Southampton would be a bit disappointed at Ward-Prowse missed the penalty. He's usually pretty good from set pieces or dead balls. But I mean,
but if you are going to miss a penalty, I think you want to ping it off the crossbar.
Is that right?
Rather than get it safe. It's very satisfying.
Is that what David Trezeguet said after the 2006 World Cup final?
I'm pretty sure.
To be fair, if you are going to do it, I'm glad I did it like that.
I reckon that's what the manager said in the dressing room afterwards.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Bad news is he's missed it. But
Antoine Griezmann was ever so chipper after missing that penalty in the Champions League final in 2016. He was like, oh, well, it just happens, doesn't it?
That's a good way to be. you're a professional athlete,
you've got to put it out of your mind. Yeah. I remember if there's a certain way.
I haven't said that.
It gives the reporter a bit of a tricky job, doesn't it?
I haven't said that. Speaking as a person who supports a team that lost a penalty shootout this week, if one of the players had said, the geezer who missed it said that, I'd have been fuming.
But that's what I mean, though, with the reporter.
But there is a certain way to miss a penalty. I remember when Brian Talbot was manager of.
I've got to hear this.
West Bromwich Albion.
Yeah.
And they missed two penalties in a game against Swindon at the Hawthorns. And one of them smashed it over the bar and the other had it saved. And he fined the guy who had it saved because his argument was, well, we went through it in training. I said to hit it hard.
Yeah.
I didn't say to place it. You placed it, therefore I'm fining you.
Yeah. I suppose if you whack the ball and it goes over the bar, you know, what you're aiming for is a place where the goalkeeper won't save it. Because the keeper saves it.
The hot dog stand.
Yeah. Well, no, but if you hit the penalty
because
top
can't,
corner.
Because it's miles over the bar. But Marcus, the thing is, though, it goes back to that old discussion that people... I remember when I was playing amateur football and there would be shooting training and all that kind of stuff. And the coach would actually go against the grain and say, well, I would prefer you to put it just wide than to put it right at the keeper. Mm. But then I've played for other teams when the coach has said, just get it on target because you never know. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. You can't score, you don't hit the target.
Yeah, exactly.
So it depends. It depends on your outlook.
It does depend.
Andy thinks it's a perfectly acceptable way to miss a penalty, which is to hit the crossbar. Yeah. So,
I used to love to hit the crossbar with a pen.
You have been playing too much Roberto Baggio's magical kicks.
Yeah. do you get points for it on that?
Not in real life, but in Baggio's kicks you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Posts, goals and trophies.
Yeah, thanks for clearing it up. I know in real life you don't get some kind of points if you hit the crossbar.
Sorry, I forgot myself there.
Well, Liverpool are only top of the league because they hit the bar 14 times.
Yeah, that certainly helped them. Everton, though, across the city, Big Carlo has been told he can strengthen the squad this summer. And he said that when he was asked, does that mean you have to sell players? And he said, no. It's one word, no. Don't give me that cheek.
But I think they have to be relatively conservative when that's been done. I know that sounds like a problematic approach when they've just really struggled to a 1-1 draw with Southampton, who were much better, and that they should have won the game.
They should have, yeah.
And it took an exceptional Richarlison goal. The ball from Dino was fantastic.
Yeah.
The finish was great. And it's moments like that where you think Richarlison, yeah, he could be Brazil's number 9. But I think when I look at the last couple of Everton coaches, there's looked to be no plan. There's looked to be a lot of money and no plan.
That was very much a case under Koeman.
The last thing they need to do is go out and buy 6 or 7 players or 8 players.
Yeah,
I think a couple of nicely placed players.
Mm. Andy, though, you can imagine the chairman and some of the big wigs at the club, and Carlo opens his contact book, and you do sort of go, let's play a bit of fantasy football.
Mm.
And you see when, you know, the James Rodriguez being leaked, and you go, I mean, he's not what we need, but, you know.
That nice to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it would be a disaster if they went down that road, of course.
But it's like basically if you bought like a sort of corner sofa and you had a really small front room, so it was like jutting out onto the balcony.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit like that.
It's a nice sofa. It doesn't fit. It's a nice sofa.
Yeah.
But the question I would ask, without getting too much into the weeds of this, I didn't see the game last night. I saw the highlights. I was watching the other game. But
wasn't a classic.
No, I feel like I made the right decision after Kate Mason made me watch West Ham Burnley the night before.
Yeah, take a night off.
Yeah, but I don't fully know. This probably says more about me than anything else, but I don't fully know what type of football Carlo Ancelotti likes to play these days. I kind of see him as being this. We were talking about it when he was being linked with Arsenal. We were saying Arsenal need a rebuild. So you don't want Ancelotti in there, really. So he's used to going in there at the top level and the player whisperer kind of thing, right?
Mm.
So I wonder, it'll be interesting to see how they set up if he signs new players, because for most of the season, they've played either 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1. And he has got a lot more out of some of the players. Like Calvert-Lewin's been much improved. Mm-hmm. Mason Holgate looks good at centre-back now.
His best success, really, in the last probably 7 to 8 years, especially if you look at Paris Saint-Germain and Napoli, has been 4-4-2.
Yeah, so he likes 4-4-2.
I think that makes sense. Well, as well, with Ancelotti, I mean, if we're not sure which formation in which to play, I'd probably ring up Silvio Berlusconi and ask him.
Do you think?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay. First of all, have to explain where Everton is to Silvio Berlusconi. That is a dig. I'm going to have another dig now, which is going to annoy Marcus, Andy. You ready?
Go on.
Please.
Everton need a new goalkeeper, a better goalkeeper.
Yeah, I heard you talking about.
Didn't like it, did you?
Well.
Yeah. I like the chat.
He would accept Joe Hart on free.
Andy, I'd like to draw a few Easter eggs in just to make sure Marcus is listening. Set the klaxon off. Oh, I don't really rate Pickford. Bang, WhatsApp. Well, Marcus Speller.
So what are you saying about one of my England players?
Yeah. I don't think to, if you look at the money they've spent and you look at what they want to achieve, for me, I don't think Pickford's at the level they need.
Pope would be. Oh, that's a sort of
possibly, but the problem with Pope, the problem with the England goalkeepers we've got to choose from is they've got obvious flaws to their game. Like Pope's an amazing shot stopper, like one of the very best. Like we talked about him against West Ham, amazing player, outstanding. But you do wonder if he's good with his feet.
You're hoping with what's his name, the lad at Sheffield United, Henderson.
That
would be the one for the future, perhaps. I know what you mean, though. Going back to the who would do Everton sign, because if you give him a war chest or a battle box or whatever it may be. You don't want to upset what battle box.
Andy, you called the guard of honor the corridor of applause. What do you call a war chest? What is it in different countries?
Oh yeah, go on.
Do they say that in different countries?
No, they don't use war chest.
What would they say?
Battle box.
What would they say in Portugal?
Combat container.
If George Jesus, when he was in his pomp, he's handed a load of money. What would they say? He's been given a
well. In Portugal, I don't know about war chest, but you definitely say if you were offering someone to, in French or Portuguese, if you're offering someone an obscene amount of money to come and play for you, you offer them a golden bridge.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah,
I like a golden bridge.
Yeah,
love
that's
it.
Good. That's a lovely. We're a military nation. We go for war chest.
But if
to our detriment.
You can slightly mispronounce that in Portuguese, and if you were to change one letter, it would become golden fountain.
That'd be something different.
Let's move on swiftly. Andy, souring the tone again on the Football Ramble, we apologise, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I don't apologise.
No, I don't apologise at all. More of that from Andy Brassel's mouth. Before we move on, Southampton. I know we bring it up all the time, but to put it in context, what Hasenhüttl's done, that 9-0 loss to Leicester was this season, by the way.
Why are we now in a world, I know what you're going to say, why are we now in a world where constantly losing 9-0 at home is held up as some kind of good thing?
No.
Oh, long term, it's been brilliant for them. Has it?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the contrast...
Look at what it did for Palace back in 89-90.
Yeah, what did it do for them?
Look at what it did
They got to the FA Cup final by beating the same team who tanked them 9-0 in the semi.
That's true. Is that not 91? Hey, 90 was
that. Look at Ipswich Town. Would they have got Paul Lambert in if they hadn't been 9-0 by Andy Cole, you know, all those years ago? But now, Southampton, 6 points above the relegation zone.
They're not. They're 16 points.
They're on 44 points.
I'll be happy with that. 6 points.
They're 12th. They have slight hopes of finishing in the top half. And what I'm saying is, that night where we played live in Newcastle, when they were beaten 9-0, you would have never have thought they'd be in this position.
Is it down to us to spoil it by nipping in and saying, Hasenhüttl would be absolutely great for Spurs.
There we go.
I'll
get on board with this. I would add to that, Andy, is just that if they'd won what was a regulation home game against Leicester, they'd be 3 points better off.
Unbelievable.
And in 11th and not 12th. So you can put it that way as well if you want.
Indeed. Absolutely you can always do better.
Yeah.
Let's have a little bit of chat about Manuel Pellegrini. Andy, what about this?
Talking of top gaffers?
Yeah.
The engineer.
Talking of doing better. Obviously, he was sacked by West Ham in December. And now he's off to Andalusia. He's going to be in charge of Real Betis come the start of next season. Signed a 3-year deal with the side from Seville. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a lovely old job.
It really is a lovely old job.
For those who saw him at West Ham.
But the thing is, look at West Ham. Like, we can't be looking at getting fired by West Ham of shame.
Is that his 9-0?
maybe it is.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, that I think that job will go on to drive other people round the bend in the future as well. The fact is, he's someone who is a great coach and can be trusted with spending vast amounts of money, as long as it's not on Felipe Anderson and Andre Yarmolenko.
Is that a nice skill to have? Oh, love that in your locker, wouldn't you? What's Marcus like? He can be trusted to spend large amounts of money. Thank you very much.
We're not going for Brewster's millions.
I was about to say.
How much have you got?
Yeah.
But he's hugely respected in Spain still. Yeah. That's important. The interesting thing, I think, is Betis have been chasing him for a long time, something our pal David Cartledge pointed out. And I think it's really, really heartening if you're a supporter of that club to think, okay, they've got a plan, they've stuck to it, they're following it through. They've given him a decent length of contract as well. He's got stuff to work with there because they spent a lot of money. It would have been good actually if he was in at the start of last season because they spent money on Fekir, on Borja Valero, and it's not really happened for them. They've not had a plan for such a long time. They've not had an identity on the pitch for such a long time. And of course, the fact that Julen Lopetegui, who's been largely derided as a club manager, has done such a good job at Sevilla. Lovely bit of Ever Banega last night.
As he scored last night.
He scored one, set one up. Beautiful free kick. In fact, they were both beautiful free kicks. So I think for them to get back in a position where they can at least be an inconvenience to Sevilla, because it's just been embarrassing this season.
Could they bring back the golden Danielson years?
I thought you were going to say the golden bridge, or you're going to go down that.
Yeah. They've given Pellegrini a golden bridge.
Oh, yeah.
The golden Danielson years. Yeah. I remember hearing from some friends over there how they welcomed Danielson to the club. Of course, he was a teenager, the most expensive player in the world. He signs the contract, and you always wonder what they're saying, don't you, when they're shaking their hand and go, oh, jolly good show and all the rest of it. And
they say, why can't you be more like Peter Schmeichel? Like Kevin Keegan.
You ready for your golden shower?
That's enough.
The president said, welcome to Betis, son. We've paid a lot of money for you, so you better be good.
Oh, wow.
Scored one goal a season in each one of the next five seasons.
It was a bit too much too soon.
An underwhelming transfer, sadly, with so much hope. Speaking of which, Thomas Robert, son of Lauren, we spoke about him
making all the press.
I tell you something, there was a lot of chat. We were sceptical at first of the chat that he was going to be linked with some of Europe's top clubs.
It was very exciting, mate. We've hardly slept a wink, haven't we? Where's he going to go?
Well, it was
this heir to the footballing crown.
Someone mentioned Manchester United. We spoke that Newcastle United were interested, and that would have been lovely.
Yeah.
But do you know what? People say footballers are arrogant.
Yeah.
This lad has shown unbelievable humility, I think you'll agree. Because he's said no to all then. He's going. He's opted instead to go to Airdrie.
Is that what we call the Mike Ashley effect?
Right, could I just say, is he going to get an absolute short shrift when he turns up at training on the first day, when the players he's playing with have all seen the press? Oh, I thought it was Man United. But you're playing for United, pal. What are you doing here?
Airdrie. What is your father like? Talk to me about Lauren. That's a woman's name. Yeah. Deary me.
Why build yourself? What he's done there is the textbook.
It's his agent stitched him up.
Overpromise, underdeliver.
Did he not turn down like a 4-year deal at Montpellier? I think that was somewhere that was reported.
I mean, agent talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Montpellier, no.
I'd love to have been in the conversation on the phone. On the phone with his agent. Right, Thomas, how you doing? I've got some great news. I found your club.
Where is it? UK. Premier League's in the UK. It is in a different part of the UK.
Is it warm there?
Yeah. Every now and then.
Agent, other clients, A. Dyer.
Yeah.
Oh, superb. Oh, yeah. Look, he's a professional footballer. Yeah. But any of us did.
Are we being disrespectful to Airdrie, Marcus?
The Millwall of Scotland?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. I remember them playing in a Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, when was that?
A long time ago.
Yeah. I was saying to you, wasn't I, that one of my friends and neighbours was describing to me how the Central Coast Mariners are the Millwall of Australia.
Yeah.
Every country needs a Millwall.
They need to go... I've never been to Australia, let alone seen...
I thought you were going to say you've never been to Millwall.
Do you know what? I don't think I have.
Did you not?
That's poor. I need to correct that. Maybe when they forget about this. Yeah.
We'll treat you next season.
Yeah.
Can I just say that, you know, you talk about Man United... You end up in Scottish League One and you're labelled a prat. And that's the game.
Yeah. Football's the real winner.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are. Right. Let's have a bit of Four to Score, Luke.
Yeah, it's time for Four to Score with Betway. Each week we participate in Betway's Four to Score for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Four to Score entry is free. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you can win up to £100,000 this week. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, obviously, and further T's and C's apply. Game one, Andy, you on game one. It's Wolves v Everton. There is a custom that you must adhere to here. Which player have you picked?
Well, I've got Marcus's rather sweaty Mexican wrestling mask on, and I have picked Raul Jimenez.
Love that.
Accordingly.
Love it's that. The correct decision. Game two is Jules. She had Aston Villa v Crystal Palace. We thought because we had a spare game this week, we'd give it to Jules because it featured Crystal Palace. Let's hear what she had to say.
Hey guys, so it's highly likely that this one is going to be a goalless draw, but I'm going to go for a Palace win, and I think the first goal scorer is going to be Milivojevic from a free kick, another stunner.
There you go. That's interesting that she's gone for a Crystal Palace player, Luka Milivojevic. Yep. I thought she'd Yeah, well, I thought she had a chance to stick the boot in, but she hasn't, so good on her.
Yeah, yeah.
Why should the listeners pay for her prejudices?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a fair point. Game three is mine, Spurs v Arsenal. I will be winning. I mean, to be honest, if you're a Spurs fan, you're probably not still listening to this, but I'm not going to win any favours or any credit with any Spurs fans. I've gone for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang for that game. Game four, Marcus, the final game in four to score is Bournemouth v Leicester.
Jamie Vardy.
Lovely. Standard. No mucking around. So our four selections are Raul Jimenez, Luka Milivojevic, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Jamie Vardy. That's Betway's four to score. It's free to play. Go and check it out at betway.com/4to-score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. You can win up to £100,000 this week. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org.
Lovely old job. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Luke's game.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for. There's been a lot of heat, a lot of heat on social media about this. Seeds one and two.
Come on.
Seed one, Andy Brassel versus seed two, Marcus Spiller. Provisional seed three, Jules Breach. We heard from her and thought to score briefly there. She's pushing up. She hasn't actually played the game yet, but in other environs she has. She's provisional seed three. Kate Mason is seed seven, rock bottom. Obviously, there's only seven seeds because I'm the eighth player and or the eighth host and I don't play. Last time these two titans met, it was a narrowly won victory by Andy Brassel, 3-2. Although you kind of had it nailed, and Marcus kind of saved a bit of faith.
I got a bit of respectability on the score.
But because of Franck Ribéry being in the mix, I mean, if something like that had happened in the Bulgarian Super League, people would have been asking questions.
They would have,
yeah.
I know what you mean. Uh-huh. I know what you mean.
They ask a lot of questions in Bulgaria.
So, newcomers to the game, I name a player. The guys have to auction and bid for the amount of clubs they can name that the player played for. If they get one wrong or they don't meet the level, the number of clubs that they've bid, they lose the point. But if they get it right, get all the teams right, they win the point. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Okay, so Andy won last time, which means the custom is Marcus goes first this time.
Oh.
It's five players to work through. First to three wins. Marcus can go top seed if he wins this week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the stakes we're talking about.
Big stakes.
So, listeners, play along wherever you are. Enjoy it.
I hope you're counting on your fingers like me.
but do know that it's much harder when the pressure's on. Mm. Here we go, Marcus. He's played for 10 clubs. The first player we're going to ask you to name the clubs of is a legend. It's Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. 10 clubs.
Oh, blimey O'Reilly.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. 10 in total.
Okay. Well, I've got one.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Andy's getting straight into the gamesmanship.
I don't like
counting
that.
Out on his fingers in quite an obvious way, right in your face.
Yeah.
What's your first bid, Marcus?
I can do five.
Is that your bid? Five. Andy, can I hear six from you? Will you bid six?
No, I don't think I can do six. I'll let you do five.
Marcus, okay. It's on you to name one at a time five of the 10 clubs that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank has played for.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Leeds United.
Correct.
Atletico Madrid.
Correct.
And this is the one I'm not sure about. Feyenoord.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. The point goes to Brassel. It's 1-0 to Brassel.
Go on, put me out of misery.
The clubs you could have had. Started off at Telstar.
Yeah.
RZ Alkmaar. They moved to Camper Marionense, which I've not heard of, Boavista, Leeds United, Atletico Madrid, Chelsea, Middlesbrough, Charlton, and ended his career at Cardiff City.
Yeah, that's poor. I don't know why I got blindsided by the... Yeah, anyway. Right. Game's on.
1-0 to Andy.
I don't remember Jimmy Floyd at Charlton. Me and him used to get our haircut at the same place in Tooting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
One season, 06-07, scored twice in the league, I believe. Uh-huh. I believe. I've got it in front of me.
Yeah.
Andy, the next player... You are bid first on this one. He's played for six clubs in total. Don't forget, if they've played for the club more than once, it doesn't count as more than one. He's played for six clubs in total. You may have heard of him. He retired in 2013. It's David Beckham.
Bex!
Six
Why
clubs.
Why did you not give me Bex?
Six clubs.
Give him Bex.
Yeah, I'm going to be able to see all this.
Yeah.
So all six?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've given him one there.
Well, I just think I
better have Paolo Maldini next.
There's one club that people won't know.
He will.
Okay, go ahead.
Preston.
There you go.
There it is. Correct. Five appearances for Preston.
I know.
Manchester United.
Correct.
Yeah. Real Madrid.
Is he gonna get
LA Galaxy.
Correct.
Milan. Correct. Paris Saint-Germain.
Correct.
I can't believe you gave him Beckham.
That's 2-0 to Andy.
Top seed David Beckham.
It's 2-0 to Wayne. I just thought the Preston offensive curveball.
He is fuming.
All right, Marcus, you're up now.
Yeah.
You're about to get even more annoyed, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Your player is, he's played for 8 clubs in total. Mm. This is to save it. Mm. To stay in the game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Didier Drogba.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. See, Andy's all over it right now. A lot of pressure here, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of pressure.
You want to avoid the whitewash first.
I do. I really, really do. And I'm really struggling to remember the bloody. So three there. Then there. Oh.
Don't let Andy psych you out of it.
Don't let me psych you out of it.
Yeah. Andy, what would be a really good bit of gamesmanship now is if you started doing your prep bit in French.
Yeah. I can. That is so annoying that I can't remember that one. I can do 4.
Okay, Andy, can you do 5?
Yeah.
You want 5? You've been in 5?
Yeah, I can.
How many has he gone?
He's got 8 in total.
Yeah. I'll go
6.
Yeah, I'll go 6.
Can you go 7?
No, I'm gonna let Marcus go 6.
Why?
he's bluffing
Spice
you out.
It
up. It's horrible to see. You've bid 6 though, so we're funny enough to get 6 from you. Okay.
Chelsea.
Correct.
Galatasaray.
Correct.
Marseille.
Correct.
Guangzhou. Evergrande.
Incorrect, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's Shanghai.
Shanghai. I can't help you there, mate. You can't blame me for that one.
I apologise, ladies and gentlemen, for letting you all down. The people's champions let you all down.
What other clubs were you going
to
go?
I would have backed myself to remember the one in North America when I eventually got there.
There's 2.
Yeah.
You could have had 1 or 2. You knew that, though.
Yeah, I did know that.
It's Le Mans, Gangon, Marseille, Chelsea, Shanghai Shenhua, Galatasaray, Chelsea again, Montreal Impact, and Phoenix Rising.
Montreal Impact was the one I got.
3-0 to Andy.
You'd have got Gangon, wouldn't you?
Gangon.
My way.
Yeah.
There's 2 more players
There's
to play
two,
for.
A bit of, you know, bit of pride.
Yeah, exactly. So, Andy, you're up first this time.
I'm really disappointed. We're
going to keep going when I've won already.
100%. Yeah. That's
this would never happen in the NBA.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. We're not in the NBA now, mate. 8 clubs, Robbie Fowler. A quick game's a good game. Robbie Fowler.
5.
5?
I'll go 6.
Yeah, why not, Mark? Have fun with it.
Exactly.
You want 7?
No, he can't do 7.
No, I can't do 7.
All right, 6 clubs that Robbie Fowler's played for, Marcus, if you don't mind.
Leeds, Liverpool.
Correct, correct.
Cardiff.
Correct.
Blackburn.
Correct.
I'm desperately trying to remember the one in Thailand. Because I've been... So Leeds, said Liverpool, said Cardiff. He played in.
You can have Liverpool twice if you want, but it's still only 4.
Yeah, that is 4, isn't it? Oh, which is the one in Thailand? This is going to frustrate me so much because it's on the tip of my tongue. Has he played in Australia? Did he play Brisbane Roar?
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Leeds, Man City, Liverpool again, Cardiff, Blackburn, North Queensland Fury, Perth Glory, and...
This is the one.
Muangthong United.
Yeah.
He managed Brisbane Roar, didn't he?
Yeah.
Another point to Andy. Final player.
Here we go.
Marcus, you're up first. Final player to save a bit of face.
Come on.
7 clubs in total.
Yeah.
Adel Tarat.
That's very frustrating indeed.
Well, he's a frustrating player.
He is. I can do 3.
Andy?
I'm going to get the fingers out again, I'm afraid.
Don't say it. I heard that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'll just say 5 off the top of my head, seeing as I'm not permitted to count on my fingers.
You are. Just like say the names of the clubs while you're doing
it. Can you do 5?
Yeah, I can do 5.
All right, let him do 5.
Yeah,
let him do some work. Let him get the whitewash.
Yeah. 5 clubs, Andy, go on.
Lens.
Correct.
Spurs.
Correct.
I forgot Spurs, blimey.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Correct.
Milan.
Correct.
Genoa.
Correct.
Didn't even need Benfica.
Didn't even need Benfica.
Did he play for Fulham as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did on loan, yeah. That is... Oh, you know him now.
Yeah. I've been put in my place.
That's a whitewash, that's Marcus. How do you feel? Rest assured, you've taken this 9 million times better than Kate Mason took it. So you've saved face there. That is an absolute statement win by Andy Brassel.
It is.
5-0 from the number one seed.
He's absolutely kicked me to the curb.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I feel that this is a 9-0 moment for me.
You're going to bounce back.
Oh, yeah.
Your heart will go on.
This is it. I think I needed this. I think I got a bit complacent. You saw Jim got two off me the other week.
I know, that's pathetic.
So that showed you. I think I was coasting a bit.
Yeah. So essentially, we're saying when we get to the Luke's game knockout stages, you're going to put me out in the semi-final. Are you saying that here and now?
All I'm saying is I'm actually quite pleased that's just happened.
Andy, you compare yourself to the mighty Magyars of 1954.
Yeah. You strike me down, Andy. I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
it's a big win for Brassel. Sometimes the team, just to be a little look behind the curtain, the players are picked at random. Yeah. They're picked at random.
Absolutely.
So Marcus had to go first because he was the challenger. That's just how it goes. Andy gets David Beckham. You can explain one of them away, Marcus. You can't explain the other four.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. Congratulations to Andy on a massive win.
Thank you. Well done, Andy Brassel. Well done indeed. And well done you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Join us tomorrow for another episode of The Greatest Games in Association with the Blizzard, where Jonathan and I will be joined by Miguel Delaney to look back at the 2010 World Cup final between Spain and the Netherlands. Yellow cards galore.
That'd be brilliant.
We shall see you very, very soon, ladies and gentlemen. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.